Enough with the championship belts already. I've had it up to here. I'm done. I'm sick of new championship titles. I'm sick of people complaining about the design of championship titles. I'm just sick of hearing the word championship title or belt or strap or whatever you want to call it. Enough. How's that for a hot start, folks? It's your boy BC here with Wrestling with the Truth, and back by popular demand, I should say, because I've been taking a little break from Wrestling with the War and had a tremendous response to the last episode where we talked about the dangers of making a babyface look too weak, and lots of listens and some comments on it, so I really appreciate that. And of course, a 5-star review from my friend Ted the Hillbilly Heel, so thank you very much, Ted. Don't forget, folks, check out The Heel Truth on all your favorite podcasting apps. Great show. But what I want to talk about this week was just all the hoo-ha and the craziness over the new titles in the WWE. I don't get it. Number one, people are losing their mind over the designs and this one doesn't look like as good as the other one. And the guy's belt looks worse than the girl's belt. And the white strap looks better than the dark strap. And who cares? Who cares? And people are complaining, well, the women's belts look just like the men's belts and they should be individual. But don't you realize what they're going for there? They're trying to bring a unifying look to those title belts. So you know that on Raw, the two world championship titles look the same. So you know which program they're on. And the Universal, or whatever you want to call them, championships on SmackDown look the same. So you know which show that they're on. Pretty simple in my mind. I think, to be quite honest, that the women's titles look better than the men's because the gold really pops on that white strap that they have them on. But overall, I think the designs are good. The only thing I would say is maybe on the Universal Championships on SmackDown, if the use of different beveling for the gold, I think, is the thing. It just looks a little bit more matte, and perhaps if they had similar beveling that they have on the world titles right now, I think it might look a bit better. But other than that, it's fine. At least we don't have Roman carrying around two belts anymore. And at least we don't have the SmackDown champion with the Raw belt and the Raw champion with the SmackDown belt. So, hey, that's an improvement. But as usual, social media is the bane of existence for wrestling. And it really causes a lot of problems. I can't get over the amount of complaint about these championship belts that you see on social media, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. I always find, for some reason, that Twitter seems to be the worst of the bunch. It seems like on Instagram, people are a bit more positive. Facebook seems to get into some discussions, although that can go off the rails a bit sometimes too. But it's really on Twitter where you see that it's all the keyboard warriors that have to crap on everything, to be quite honest. You know, I'm not a fan of every belt design that's out there, but you got to think back, you know, when I was growing up and watching wrestling in the 80s, we had the same belts for the longest time. I think about it, like the Intercontinental Championship design that was first brought out in 1986, lasted right up until the mid to late 90s. That's over 10 years that we had to deal with that design. Luckily, it was an awesome looking belt, so we were happy with what we had. But, you know, if you weren't a fan of it, there you go. You're stuck with that. The WWF tag team titles, they started back in the mid-80s. I think it was around 85 when that design came out. And they didn't get changed. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, in 99 or 2000. I could be wrong. Certainly write in to Gmail, bchunterwwtt@gmail.com, to let me know if I'm wrong on that. But like I say, again, thankfully, these are amazing classic belts. I mean, they were made by Reg Parks and just amazing looking belts. And then in the 90s, we had some different designers that came out, like Dave Milliken, and made some really cool belts, like the big Eagle, as they call it, as opposed to the Winged Eagle. You had the IC title designs, you had the Hardcore title, you had all these different things, and of course, stuff in WCW as well. But it's funny, like, I think back, I mean, all the how people are fired up about these championship belts. And I think back when the Winged Eagle first came out. At the very first, I wasn't completely sold on it. I thought it looked a bit too small. And I was so used to the Hulk Hogan 1986 version of the title. And I was like, that's just synonymous with Hogan. But of course, after a while, it didn't take me long. Seeing that belt around the waist of Randy Savage and seeing it around the waist of the Ultimate Warrior and Bret Hart, that became synonymous as one of the most beautiful belts in the business. I think to the NWA title designs, like things like the U.S. title, if you think of the design from the 1987 or 86 to 90 range, synonymous with like Nikita Koloff and Barry Windham, I think that's one of the most beautiful belts that's ever been made. And of course, you know, the big gold title. I mean, again, there's a belt at first. When I first saw it, I wasn't completely sold on it. I thought it was just a bit too much, a bit too big. It just, you know, I couldn't make out everything on it. But once it was out there and Ric Flair rocked that belt, I mean, here's an important point I should bring up. It used to be that it wasn't the belt that made the man or the woman. It was the man or woman that made the belt. You think about it. If Ric Flair held that championship, you knew that that was the world championship. If Hulk Hogan held that championship, you knew that it was the world championship. It didn't matter what the design of the belt was. It mattered who held that belt and had it around their waist. Same goes for a title like the Intercontinental title. I mean, synonymous with guys like Randy Savage and Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect and the Ultimate Warrior. Those people made that belt important. They made that belt elevate from just a mid-card title to almost its own separate world title. You think about the tag team titles in the WWF and teams like the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation and Demolition. Those people made those belts. But once they were on the waist of, like, say, like Andre the Giant and Haku, although both great Hall of Fame legends, they weren't a true tag team, so the belts didn't seem to matter as much. You put them on the waist of the Brainbusters, and all of a sudden, there you go. They're important titles once again. So at that point, it was the holder of the title, not the title itself, that made the difference. Going back to the NWA, you talk about some interesting titles. Let's for example, look at the NWA World Television title. And yes, that is correct. It is the World Television title, because once Dusty Rhodes won that title, of course, it's Big Dust. You know, Dust is a former world champion. He had to have a belt that was just as important as the one that Ric Flair was wearing. So they made the television title the World Television title, and it became that much more important. They gave him a new design, cool looking design as well. So, you know, again, it wasn't the belt itself that made the man. Dusty made that belt a world title. The World Tag Team Championship in the NWA. You had some amazing teams that held that, like the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, the Road Warriors, Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude, you know, different teams like this. But I also think about the United States Tag Team Championship. Now, that was a secondary tag team title, but a team that is synonymous with that title is the Midnight Express. And those titles on the Midnight Express felt just as important as the NWA World Tag Team titles, because the team made the titles. Now, as soon as you put those titles on Firebreaker Chip and the Patriot, not quite the same. Even guys like Ronnie Garvin and Barry Windham winning those titles, not the same. But you have a team like the Fantastics, who has an amazing feud with the Midnight Express, and they're dying to win those titles. It then became important. No different than today's wrestling, you see something like the Intercontinental title, which for the longest time was just forgotten about. This used to be the working man's title. This used to be the secondary title that was, you knew the person was going to the main event level. Well, for a while, it just became a joke. For a while, it wasn't being defended. I can't remember how many years in a row it wasn't on WrestleMania, but it was something like 6 or 7 or something like that. Again, if I'm wrong, write in, let me know. I'd love to read some emails out on the airways. But right now, you have Gunther holding that title, and he's made this almost up to a world title level, because Gunther is such an impressive wrestler and such an impressive holder of that title. And he's on the cusp, you know, a few more months, he will become the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. He would be looking to dethrone, of all people, the Honky Tonk Man. But even the Honky Tonk Man, you talk about a person making a title, say what you want about Honky Tonk Man and the way that he held that title for that record period, but he made that title because everybody wanted to see him lose that title. they wanted to see their favorite babyface get that title. And they would watch that match and just wait for that to happen. But it never happened until finally this phenom known as the Ultimate Warrior took it in record time. And again, the title didn't make the Warrior. The Warrior made the title because he was, like I say, a phenom. You didn't need a belt for him, but it helped. But getting back to the Honky Tonk Man's reign, who did he take that title off of? He took it off of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, a former NWA World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest babyfaces of all time, a legend of this business, and had one of the greatest matches in the history of wrestling, and one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history, with Macho Man Randy Savage, where he won that title. So of course, that should have culminated in Ricky being one of the biggest things in professional wrestling, but it didn't. It didn't. This was a case where the man didn't make the title and the title didn't make the man. This was a case where it was just a moment. It was a moment in time. It was a fantastic match. It goes down in history. An amazing feud. But the feud wasn't about the title. The feud was about revenge. It was revenge by Ricky on Randy Savage for nearly putting him out of wrestling when he crushed his larynx back in 1986. You had surrounding things around that title while Ricky is recovering. You had George the Animal Steel involved with a feud with Macho Man Randy Savage. You had the whole Elizabeth scenario with George Steel. Even at WrestleMania 3, you had George Steel accompanying Ricky Steamboat to the ring and getting involved in that match, which to me was always the one thing that bothered me about that match and just took it away from being perfect. We did not need to have George the Animal Steel involved in that match. You had enough going with the whole Savage Steamboat, Ricky trying to get revenge, and he's going to take away the one thing that Savage loves more than life. Now, I'm not talking about Elizabeth. I'm talking about the WWF Intercontinental title. Well, we did have that happen, but right after that, Ricky wanted to take some time off. So the title's importance just all of a sudden immediately went down a notch. Plus, we had that blow-off to the feud, but then what? That's the question. This is the question I ask a lot of fans now, because we have too many titles in wrestling. We have everybody and their dog has a championship belt, especially when you watch something like AEW. This is not a put-down on AEW, but what I'm saying is you see more people on that television show with titles than you do on any other wrestling program, and that can devalue the titles. I find it ironic right now that people go on and on and on about Roman Reigns and how he never defends the title and he only shows up for a certain amount of time or after a certain amount of days and he'll defend the title once a month. And he's the worst thing that happened in wrestling because he's a part-time champion. Yet, you have the same thing happening in AEW. And MJF is actually blatantly open about that, that he doesn't defend the title on a regular basis because he doesn't need to. Because he's more important. He's the most important guy in wrestling right now as the world champion. So he doesn't need to be on TV each week defend the title. And I agree with that. I think that your world champion, as long as they're defending the title within that 30-day window, and they are keeping in your consciousness with promos and with interviews and with angles that they're working on the regular shows, I think that's the right way to work a champion. You know, you get people that talk about a reign like, say, when Seth Rollins was WWE champion, and he was the working man's champion. He was showing up every week and defend that title. Well, if you're doing that, you're seeing the title defenses every week on TV. That's great. You're having all these dream matches, and all these opponents are getting chances at the title. But all of a sudden, a three-month title reign feels like it's been 3 years because you've seen so much of it. He's run through the gauntlet of opponents. You have no build-up to storylines. You just have opponent after opponent after opponent, which is, again, something that you see on AEW right now, where they book more so the dream matches as opposed to building up the stories. Not for everything, but in a lot of cases, you do see that. Well, you're going to see that now on Raw as well, because with Seth Rollins being the world heavyweight champion, he's going to be defending that title all the time. And we're seeing it already. We have, in a span of a month, he's going to be defending against Finn Balor, going to be defending against Bron Breakker, and I forget right now, it's escaped me who the other defense is, but he's got a maybe Dominic Mysterio or something like that, but he's got so much going on, which is, now I've talked about this in the past. That's what I loved about The Horseman in 1986. It felt like they were involved in everything. They had their hands in the pot of everything, but it wasn't Ric Flair defending his title every week on TV. It was The Horsemen as a group being involved with everybody that's on the roster. And you had all this mishmash of matches where it might be singles matches or tag team matches or three on threes or whatever, where you could have Ric Flair involved with one of his future opponents, building that storyline, building up intrigue, getting something where the fans want to see that babyface get that comeuppance on Ric Flair. And that's what the whole point of a champion is that you don't just fire them out there and have match after match after match after match with no story, because the fans, eventually they're going to lose interest and there's going to be like, who's next? And we've seen that many times. We've seen it happen a lot of times. Kofi Kingston's a good example. We had that euphoric moment of Kofi Mania of him winning the title, but then it's like, okay, we've got that. Who's next? You know, we get that with Seth Rollins. We get that with many opponents. I'm sure it'll happen with Cody Rhodes, where people are going to be like, he finally won the title. He beat Roman Reigns, probably at WrestleMania 40, but he finally did it. All right, awesome. Let's have the crazy moment after Raw and the big 10-minute You Deserve It chant. He'll defend it one time and he'll be like, okay, I'm a little bit tired of Cody. So who's next? Well, let's get it on LA Knight. He's got the money in the bank. Come on, LA Knight, you be the champion. And then LA Knight, he cashes in. And then it's the next person. Well, we're getting bored of that. Let's put on Dom. He's a cool heel. Let's go with that, okay? All right, Damian Priest next. You know, we got the story there. And, you know, and we just have that mishmash, and you have the switching back and forth and all the time. That was something that was common back in the 90s during the Attitude Era. But the difference was you had probably 6 to 8 true main eventers that were interwoven with each other when you had people like Triple H, The Rock, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Austin, Kane, and Mankind, and different people like this. You could exchange a title because it made sense, because all these people were main event level. They all had interwoven stories and they were all talented enough to be world champions. I know the fans nowadays, they think that everybody should be a world champion and they deserve to be a world champion, but it doesn't always make sense. We don't want to get into the participation trophy era with all these championship titles. The title means something. That's the whole reason why the person who takes the title off of Roman Reigns, they're going to be a made man. It's going to be a star. Most likely, I still believe that it's going to be Cody Rhodes. I'm still standing by that. You know, check out my video that I recorded the day after WrestleMania. And I said, trust the plan. It's over on YouTube, on the Wrestling with the Truth YouTube channel. Cheap plug for that. Or if you got time, go over and check out Wrestling with the 80s on YouTube and subscribe to that as well. But yeah, in that video, I talked about, like, people, calm down. I know it's the end of the world. Cody got screwed. He got brought to WWE just to be embarrassed at WrestleMania, in the biggest WrestleMania of all time. But that's not the case. They're building up a story. They're building hard times for Cody. That's what they're doing with Brock Lesnar. They're keeping them busy with that, building more hard times for them. They're putting them up with Dom right now because that's a hot heel at the moment. I don't know if I'd say it's the hottest heel in the business, but the most unlikable heel at this time. Although, ironically, how can he be unlikable if fans are just oohing and aahing over how good that Dom's been as a heel? I don't know. It's kind of a catch-22, but anyways. But yes, he's getting his hard times. They're keeping them busy. They're continuing the Bloodline story. They've got a guy that's waiting in the wings in Gunther, who they already have a story with Cody, thanks to the Royal Rumble situation that went on. We've got a lot of things happening. We're building up that main event scene. You're soon going to have Roman and Cody and maybe a Damon Priest, an LA Knight possibly. You know, over on the other side, you got Seth and you got, you know, so many different people that can fit in. You know, I don't know if Dom's going to be a main eventer, but he's certainly can be one of those people that they slip up into that side of things and then bring back down from time to time. But this is the point. Like, we're building up the scene. And by doing that, by keeping that title belt on the champion like a Roman Reigns, I know, people, you hate him. That's the point. He's the heel. He shouldn't be the cool heel. He shouldn't be a tweener. He's the heel. You're supposed to hate him. You're supposed to want to watch him lose. That's why you pay your money each week or each pay-per-view or PLE or whatever the hell you want to call it. That's why you pay your money to watch this man lose the title. And when he doesn't, it just becomes that much more frustrating. You're like, oh, I can't wait for the next person to do it. And I got news for you. There will eventually be someone that does it. He's not going to hold the title forever, but he's going to sure make it important over the next little while. I think you're going to see it happen at WrestleMania 40. That's my prediction. And I think it's going to be Cody. And it's going to be a great, great moment when he does. So, you know, as I say, trust the plan with that. But anyways, back to the belts. I kind of got off track there, but there's a reason for it. But, you know, who cares of the design? As long as it's not just an absolutely crappy, crappy looking thing. I mean, I'm one of the few that actually thought that the whole WWE logo title that you've seen over the last years was a great looking title. It reminded me of a championship ring. And it's no different than UFC. It's they're doing product placement. They're getting their logo out on their championship. So when that's seen on TV, you know what championship it is. AEW does the same thing. They have the AEW logo on their championship. It was something different, but I was fine with it. The one belt I hated of all time was the spinner belt because I thought it looked like a toy. And that's the whole difference there. It's like, yeah, it had the logo, but I mean, it just did not look professional to me. You compare that to the 10 pounds of gold or the big gold or the winged eagle. It's no comparison, folks. I know it was hip at the time, but that's something you do for like a secondary title or a 24/7 title or something like that, not your world heavyweight championship. I'm just glad to see we're back to one belt. I would like to eventually see a unification between the world title and the WWE title and make it one, because I do feel like you need to have one champion in your federation, and they need to be the top dog of that federation. That's one thing that AEW is doing right with MJF and that world title. He is the top dog right now, and he's the guy that everybody should be gunning for. You have those secondary titles that can keep people satiated on TV to see a title match, so like whether it be the international title with Orange Cassidy or the TNT title, whichever it is, but that's, you need that secondary title. It's no different than the US title or the TV title. That's something that that people can see defended on a regular basis, and that's what the IC title should be, and that's what the US title should be in the WWE. And that brings more prestige to those titles. That's why the Intercontinental title did get so prestigious back in the 80s and the 90s, because you only had one world champion. It was Hulk Hogan, who defended maybe once a month on Saturday Night's Main Event, and then once a quarter on your pay-per-view, your big four pay-per-views. That was the whole point. So you needed a title in the meantime that was shown on TV a lot more, and that was your Intercontinental title. And that elevated the holder to a new level, because they were the working man's champion, as you say. Anyways, I appreciate you putting up with my rant. Hopefully it's not, doesn't sound too negative. And I'm not trying to be negative. I just want to get people off this train about worrying about like one weird design or one title belt color not being the right thing or one belt looking better than the other. Just don't worry about it. They're just props. In the end, this isn't real. This is just a prop. It's just something, you know, is going to be sold in WWE shop or AEW shop. And they change them so often now just because they want to make more money. They want to sell more to the fans. They know that people will collect belts now. And so they're just keeping on producing them. It's no different than these retro jerseys and these third jerseys that are in NHL or NBA or in football. It's just all about sales, folks. In the end, it doesn't matter. It's just wrestling. And just enjoy wrestling. For God's sake, please start enjoying wrestling. It's actually pretty darn good right now. Great storyline, stuff going on. We don't need to be worrying about the color of a belt strap. Anyways, appreciate you tuning in. I would love to hear your feedback on this episode. Maybe you think I am nuts or an old man on the hill or screaming, get off my lawn. I'm sure there's a lot of people that do think that. But come on, let me know. Go on over to my Twitter at WWTTPod or Facebook, Wrestling with the Truth. Or like you say, send me an email at bchunterwwtt@gmail.com. I will read your email over the air as long as it's not graphic or too offensive or anything like that. But if you have a valid argument as to why I'm crazy, let me know. But hey, let's get some conversation going. Appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode. Appreciate all the support from everybody, and hope you have a great day, folks.